This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And judging by the bio of our next guest, he would know what fist pumping is. This is Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Pepe in the back firing up the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And tonight at 7 o'clock, this radio station is going to be airing the Must See and Hear event. It is the Four Nations Final between the United States and Canada. And joining us now to preview and talk Stars is Brian Ray, pre- and post-game host from Victory Plus on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing good, boys. How are we doing today?
We're doing pretty well. We have to start off with your bio, as the first thing RJ Choppy noticed. Your top three 90s cartoons.
Wow. I feel like Gavin Spill might have set me up here. So that's a great question. I think you have to go, number three is a bit of a wild card, but I think you have to go Animaniacs.
Love it.
And then I think for classic theme songs alone, number one in my book is Chippendale Rescue Rangers. DuckTales is number two, but I completely respect if you want to flip-flop those.
Okay.
Based on the theme songs alone.
Yeah. DuckTales, woo. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. Most overrated.
It's a serious conversation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it says 90s cartoon fans, so we had to go ahead and start with that. Brian, how did this get so big? Like, this thing was the craze. I was on vacation. My phone's lighting up with all the fights. We're comparing this to exhibitions with the NBA, even though it's not country versus country. How did this Four Nations explode?
I think first of all, because we haven't had international or Olympic hockey for a decade, there's a bit of a shiny new toy element. Mm. You know, it's not necessarily a shiny new toy, but it's been gone for 10 years. I mean, it's gone for a generation or half a generation. So I think there's a little bit of intrigue to see, well, what does it look like? You know, the fact that it's U.S. versus Canada, it's international style hockey. The fact that it was on ABC and not on streaming or pure cable, I think also made it more accessible. But then when you have three fights in 9 seconds, that's a pretty incredible WTF factor. Yep. Whether you're a hardcore hockey fan or a casual hockey fan, or you don't watch hockey at all, but you know, like, oh yeah, I remember they fight in hockey. I'll turn it on and see what it looks like. And you're like, okay, what is going on?
Yeah.
And nobody could have predicted that. Nobody could have expected that, especially with the culture of hockey today, where you don't have three fights in 9 seconds of a game. It just does not happen. So in terms of shock and awe or shock value, and you mixed in that with everybody being on their phone, checking social media and getting notifications. I mean, how many people got texts from their friends or on Twitter, and they just kept seeing what is going on in the Canada-US game? Then there's the, well, I have to turn this on. What is going on? And then, of course, it's Highlight City And it's like, well, three fights in 9 seconds. I should probably watch this for a little bit to see if anything else crazy happens. And it turned into a real hockey game, and it was a great hockey game. But it's tough. As an NHL fan and as a hardcore hockey fan, there's so much more to the game than three fights in 9 seconds. But we live in a UFC football-generated culture where a moment like that certainly does catch the eye of sports fans and even just casual fans. So it was kind of the perfect cocktail of everything. I'll be shocked if we have three fights in 9 seconds tonight because there's a championship on the line. But I do think for the game, a few more people are going to tune in for this one than probably normal, or some people that were not going to tune in for this one that saw that game might say, let's turn it on for a while and see what happens.
Are Canada fans, would they be like, you know, if the U.S. loses, we'll wake up the next day and, you know, we'll be sad. But like this is their national sport. Like, is this like the end of times for them if they were to lose this?
It's not the end of times, but they ain't going to be happy. And I'm trying to think of like a cross reference. Like what happens if the Cowboys beat the Eagles in both regular season games? Regardless of the regular season they just had. What happens if they beat the Eagles in both regular season games, but they lose the one in the playoffs? Philly fans sleep just fine and they're laughing. Or vice versa. If the Cowboys lose to the Eagles in both regular season games, but they win the playoff game, you get the bragging rights.
Yeah.
So I think it's the same thing for this one. Yes, it was a great game. The U.S. beat Canada, but it was a round-robin game. Now there's a championship on the line, and you have to do it again. That's the hard part. The first time's great, but can you do it again? That's how you really establish some supremacy or some authority over the conversation, is when you do it again. So it's going to be a really interesting game tonight. That's all I know. I think the U.S. absolutely is good enough to beat Canada again. But now there's a little more motivation on the Canadian side after what just happened in that first meeting.
Brian Ray, Victory Plus, joining us here, 105 through the Fan. U.S. got some injuries. What is going on with Quinn Hughes? And, like, would it surprise you if Vancouver's like, no, we're Canadian. You're not playing in this game. We're not going to let you play. We're Canadian.
Don't ask me what's going on with Quinn Hughes. I don't think anybody knows what's going on with Quinn Hughes. It's the way that I've sort of figured out this situation, or at least what I've read about it, there are some roster stipulations first and foremost to try and keep a competitive balance. Why, I don't totally know. I just think, look, if you're going to go country on country, every player in that country is available, and it's up to the country to choose who they want to play. But the thing with Quinn Hughes is he had an injury before the break and clearly made a decision with the Canucks that said, we've got a longer-term goal, and that's winning a Stanley Cup. I'm not going to play in the tournament. I'm not going to risk this injury further. I'm going to get healthy. And then all of a sudden, the U.S. had injuries. They've got one game to play for the championship, and they called Quinn Hughes. And I'm sure he was like, I'm ready. Let's go. I wouldn't be surprised if Vancouver said, no, you're not going. We already had an agreement. You're our best player by far. We're not putting this risk. And so it kind of becomes this tug and pull. And I don't even know if a final decision's been made yet. I wouldn't be surprised if WWF style Quinn Hughes just pops up in warmups tonight, like, which would be awesome. Just the ultimate heel move from the U.S. side. I don't think he's playing. Even if he did go out there, I think the U.S. needs one more illness or one more injury in order for Hughes to be eligible. But to connect it to the Dallas Stars, when Thomas Harley went up for Canada, he like flew to Montreal, but he couldn't practice with the team. He like couldn't be around the team unless they were down one more player. So it was almost like he would go skate on his own and then have to get off the ice before Canada got on the ice, because he technically couldn't be a part of team activities. There was like some cloak and dagger shenanigans going on with some of the Thomas Harley stuff. He ultimately got in, and he's been a part of things now, but I think for the NHL, because this is their first year getting back into international competition, there's a little bit of an experimental or guinea pig element going on with how this tournament goes as different scenarios pop up. And this may affect some of the Olympic decisions coming up next year.
McAvoy out. Tkachuk, is he in?
Sounds like it. I mean, all the insiders and the reporters, it sounds like McAvoy's the only guy who's out. Everybody else, you know, Austin Matthews has said he's playing. Head coach Mike Sullivan said he expects both Tkachuk brothers to be in there, which they're both characters, and we saw what they did at the start of the first game, plus they're phenomenal players. I think you need them in there. So it seems like the U.S. is going to float out that exact same roster minus Charlie McAvoy, and it's a pretty darn good roster anyway.
Talking with Brian Ray here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Brian, I saw Jim Nill heading into the All-Star break had said that, look, with the schedule, the trip to Finland, all the injuries they've had, the number of young players they've had to play, he's pretty happy overall with where things have been given the expectations. How would you grade the Stars at the break, and then what is your outlook for them in the second half?
I'd probably give them a B+ in terms of a grade. And yes, the schedule, the injuries, the circumstances, the fact that they're top three in the Central, they're going to be neck and neck with Minnesota. I think they're going to finish somewhere in that 2-3 hole. I think they're going to finish second. I think Winnipeg has opened up enough runway that they're going to take the division, and I'm fine with Dallas in that 2-3 hole. I'd give them a B+ because I thought that first month of the season they were winning games, but something was off. Robertson wasn't quite there. He was coming off foot surgery. Wyatt Johnston was a little slow. Hintz was a little slow. Matt Duchene seemed to be like the only one. He and Sagan seemed to be like the only ones that could really pump in some goals for this team. So the start was not what they wanted it to be, but you've turned it into essentially a top 10 record in the league overall and top three in your division with a pretty good chance to take the number two spot. So I think B+ is a fair grade for what they've done so far. Moving forward, I mean, I think they're going to be pretty good. This is a weird season, especially for the Stars, because it was like, all right, season starts, we just got to get to the Finland trip. Okay, Finland trip is done, we just got to get to the Christmas break. Okay, Christmas break is done, we just got to get to Four Nations. All right, Four Nations is done. Now we got to get to the playoffs. Now there's going to be a sprint. I think now there's going to be a renewed focus because it's more of a veteran team with Stanley Cup aspirations, legit Stanley Cup aspirations. I think you're going to see the focus settle in on the word coaches use is details of your game, to where they want to start building towards a position where they're ready to go into a 7-game playoff series and win that series. So I think you're going to see an ascent. And then since you mentioned Jim Nill, I still think he's poking around for something by the trade deadline in 2 weeks. So I think we have one more roster move of some kind. I don't know how lofty or how big it may be, but I still think he's going to do some type of tweak if he can to the roster. So there's still some Stars news roster-wise coming in the future, I think.
The Stars have to what in order to have a successful year?
Final four. I think this has been a Final Four team the last 2 years. They entered this season with the full expectations of winning the Stanley Cup or playing for the Stanley Cup, and I think they do have a roster that can do it. I just, from a big picture hockey fan standpoint, I've always thought once you get down to the Final Four teams, all four teams have a legitimate case that they can win the Stanley Cup. And it really does come down to one detail or one break or one slight defining circumstance. If you go back to last year, I think everybody's going to look at the series loss to Edmonton. It was the power play. The Stars' power play dried up, and that was a difference in the game or a difference in the series. And so it's something like that can really be the lone effect on whether you do go from Final Four to Final Two to Final One. So I think Final Four, to have that expectation on this team is more than fair. And then once they get there, let's see what happens, and let's see what you've learned from the last two Final Four appearances.
Brian, first year here of Victory Plus, have you noticed or how important has it been for just the growth of what the Stars are trying to do and the following here in DFW? How important has it been to have just the free, easy access to every game there with Victory Plus here locally?
I think it's been huge. The biggest thing from the Stars side and even from my side hosting these shows is distribution number one. We we're all sports fans. We all know what's going on with the regional sports network situation. We all know what was happening with Bally. To finally get the, I'll call it unlimited distribution. It's based on whoever just wants to download the app for free. But now anybody can access this within the geographic region, the four-state region for the Stars. And you don't have to worry about cable providers or streaming providers or satellite or rabbit ears. All of that's been removed off the table. So distribution number one has been huge for the Stars and seen number increase. To my knowledge and from everything I've heard and been told, there have not been a lot of technical glitches. There's not a lot of buffering complaints that I see online. I have not heard a great deal of technical glitches. Everybody seems to have been able to access it just fine. So I think if you're checking the distribution box and technologically everything seems to be working fine, that's a heck of a first year. And the fact that the Rangers have now jumped onto it, the St. Louis Blues and the NHL, they dabbled with Victory Plus in their preseason, and they're going to run a couple of their games on Victory Plus. Clearly, other teams have been watching what the Stars began with Victory Plus, and they've taken notice. Some have jumped in both feet. Some are kind of, tasting it as an hors d'oeuvre. But there's clearly intrigue to see if this is a model and a route to go. The revenue side, that's different for every team. That's different for every organization and every arrangement. But the bottom line is multiple teams, it appears, are interested to learn more about the way this is going. That's got to be a huge success for the Dallas Stars when you look at it in those three components.
You do a really nice job, man. Keep up the great work. Thank you for the time this morning and enjoy this evening. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you too as well. Enjoy the game, everybody. I appreciate it, boys.
Brian Ray from Victory Plus, pre and post on DFW Sports Station. Did Bill Belichick kill UNC basketball? RJ Choppy with a college kegger next.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hectic kegger down here.
Did Bill Belichick kill North Carolina basketball? The most blue-blooded program of all time? Arguably? It's one of four.
Yeah.
You got a choice of four or five. With them, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, and UCLA. And UCLA only won when they had, three teams. So don't even count them. But
and the O'Bannons.
And the O'Bannons. Yeah, that's right. They had the O'Bannons. But there is talk that Bill Belichick is building such an NIL base at UNC that it's taking away from the basketball. And the basketball has had the biggest NIL budget, or one of the biggest NIL budgets for, a couple of years now since they basically started NIL. And the basketball team they're kind of buns, man. They're kind of booty cheeks and they stink. And Bill is like, hey, look, they got this money and they ain't winning. Let's give it to me and let's try to win. And this brings up an interesting situation. Like,
so you're trying to tell me that the athletic director has taken some of the basketball money and given it to Bill?
That is what the basketball department is fearful that is happening.
Okay.
That the NIL budget, there's only so much to go around. Like, these schools only have X amount. Let's say the University of Texas has $100 million to spend on NIL, and they give $50 million to football and $20 million to men's basketball and trickle down from there. Well, if men's basketball gets the ghost of John Wooden to come in and coach the team, they're like, well, hey, now we need more money. Let's say they increase by $10 million. Well, the football team's got to come down by $10 million. And the fear is that this is what's happening because football drives revenue. But certain schools are basketball schools. Are you really going to sit there and tell me that a Kentucky athletics fan would prefer, the normal fan would prefer the football team win the NCAA title as opposed to the basketball team? Not a chance. Same thing at Duke, same at Carolina, Kansas, UCLA. And the reverse is at Texas. Like, there's not a Texas football fan, there's not a Texas athletics fan that would rather their basketball team win the title than the football team. Maybe a few.
Well, at Kentucky, well,
haven't you said you would prefer a Vols?
I like college basketball better than college football anyway. Like, I love college football, but I grew up on college basketball. That was like my number one.
I don't know if I'm thinking that a UNC student
cares.
Definitely likes basketball over football, right? I'm just ingrained to think football over basketball normally. But if UNC goes on a national championship football run,
they'd love it.
I mean, I would be in the stands for both.
Oh yeah, you'd be in the stands for both. That's just like, you know, you get your choice. You know, you have, because, you know, you go to these football factories, it's just ingrained in you, this is what everybody does.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some of the kids go to the basketball games. My assumption is at Carolina, everyone goes to the basketball game.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. So Bill Belichick potentially killing North Carolina basketball. And the SEC and Big Ten.
By the way, early returns on Bill's recruitment. What are you hearing? That he's doing a really good job, nice job, putting together what type of roster?
It's a transfer portal roster. He did fairly well in the portal.
Yeah, it was solid. He was like, I think they were 15th in the portal rankings, which is a pretty decent jump because I think UNC was like 28 last year.
His issue is high school kids because he doesn't have a relationship with the high school coaches.
Other than his girlfriends.
Right. There were three top 100 players in the state of North Carolina. None of them went to North Carolina. That's a problem. If you're a school like Carolina, if you're not in Texas or Florida or California, you have to win your state. You just have to. Georgia didn't become Georgia until they put a wall around Atlanta. And they became Georgia.
It's a beautiful wall.
It's the way it is. And if you're Carolina, you've got maybe 8 Division I players a year, 10 Division I players, 20, whatever it is. Whatever that number is, you've got to keep a majority of the top ones in your state.
For what it's worth, by the way, the high school rankings for, according to 24/7, for North Carolina this year is 32nd. Last year, they were 32nd. So they're recruiting the same. And the biggest transfer portal recruit came from the University of Washington, which is where Bill's son was coaching last year. So
Thaddeus, right?
Yep. You might be getting like just a 1-year boost there. So it still remains to be seen.
We'll see. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti, they met in New Orleans, and they are in favor of changing the seeding this year for the college football playoff. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to guarantee spots. That's not happening yet. But this is what we talked about. There was no guarantee that just because you win a conference, you get a bye. What they would say is, you're ranked where you're ranked. That's the list of the byes. I think that's the fair way to go.
Please tell me, because you were out for this, and Chop was like, ultimately what's the matter? Because they're probably going to fall in there anyway. I had a massive problem with the suggestion from the Big Ten and the SEC that we want the playoff to be 16 teams and our conferences get 4 automatic bids.
Well, you can ask for it.
Well, no, they're running it. They're running the CFP. They have a controlling interest in like setting the CFP. So, I mean, if they want to give themselves 4 automatic bids, they probably can.
And your problem is them just not leaving it open to everyone with open competition and earn it.
Yeah, you're mad that SMU got in. Well, we don't want an SMU getting in. We want Alabama to get in. It doesn't matter that SMU is ranked higher. Like, it just strikes me as, so you're trying to stack the deck.
Yeah.
If you're as superior as you've claimed your conference is for so long, you should be able to just get in there on the merit of how great your teams are. You shouldn't need all the four automatic bids to game it so you can beat SMU.
Yeah. SMU was in either way. They were an at-large bid, right? They weren't the automatic bid, so they would have gotten in either way.
What do you mean?
SMU was not an automatic bid. They were an at-large bid. They would have gotten in regardless of what
right
number
but if
was.
You extend the number of automatic bids, they would have gotten squeezed. If all of a sudden the Big Ten has four and the SEC has four, okay.
With still being 12 teams, yeah. Yes. But if it's at 16, it would. The reality is that every year there's four teams in the top 16 in the SEC. There just always is. Big Ten usually.
But I don't like putting it.
I don't
writing
like that.
It in stone.
I don't like the writing it in stone.
It goes against like the essence of competition.
It's a merit. It's a merit based thing. The reality is it's going to happen every year anyway. My issue is the seeding. Get rid of the seeding. You know, you didn't need Arizona State to be the three seed. That screwed everything up.
The seeding is messed up. That screwed things up. By the way, I was stunned yesterday. Friend of the show, Stuart Mandel, he trashed the SEC and the Big Ten for this suggestion. He's like, you may have all the power, but you don't alienate 75% of the fan base of college football just in the name of flexing your power and wanting to get things your way. That's bad business.
Speaking of flexing their power and trying to get things their way, another thing they talked about was expansion of the NCAA tournament. The NCAA tournament is currently at 68 teams.
It's not enough.
Not enough. And you know that the SEC and the Big Ten want to expand this thing, and they are talking about this. This is Pete Thamel on College Game Day basketball version from this past weekend. Even the SEC fans, they were at Alabama. Even they don't want expansion for the college tournament.
Well, Reese, obviously we have Selection Sunday a month away, and there's development behind the scenes about what this tournament could look like in 2026. NCAA President Charlie Baker is on the record saying there's been discussions about growing the tournament to either 72 or 76 teams. I had multiple high-ranking sources tell me this week that the more likely option, if the tournament were to expand, would be to 76. The NCAA has been in discussions with its media partners for a while on this now, and a decision on whether it does go to 76 would come in the next few months. The move to 76 would be historic. By adding eight teams, it would be the biggest jump in what the tournament looks like since 1985. The logistics of what that could look like have not been set yet.
So there's boos. The fans don't even want it. This is where the programs will be helped by it. The fans don't even want it.
I'm in.
You want the 76?
Really?
I'm in.
Oh.
The initial reaction is to say, what's the point? Where do we draw the line? Look, for me, I don't care about the college basketball regular season. It's like the NFL. This is the way I look at it. Give me more playoff. I love the NCAA tournament, even though I don't watch the regular season. I love it. So if you give me a few more games to live and die with and flip when True TV runs out of their game to TBS and TNT, what's the downside? What's the problem?
I think the issue is
more tournament.
These added games would be on Tuesday and Wednesday before they're playing games.
Okay.
You're essentially adding play. Now, what is the perception of the NCAA tournament?
I mean, there's a lot of perceptions.
That it's awesome. I mean,
that like the games are all close. There's barn burners, right?
Yeah.
Upsets galore.
Yeah, you're going to get an upset or two that's just like awesome.
But the greatness, I'm just speaking selfishly. I can be fine with a blow. I don't need a close buzzer beater as long as my team wins for my bracket.
Oh, that's fair.
So I'm going to pay attention because I'm just going to be peer pressured and continue my morning show dominance of winning or not losing, more importantly. And, okay, my team, they're winning by 14. Even the way I watch it again, my team's up 8 in the second half. That's still nerve-wracking for me because an 8-point, a 7-point lead can go away. So even if I don't have the close game, I have the reason to watch for my bracket advancement. The only time I'm really out of a game is if it's 20 points in the second half. And I'm like, all right, over to the next one. So give me more tournament since I don't care about the regular season anyway. Now, I'm not watching any of the play-ins. But
that's where the expansion is,
right? Well, fine, but I still don't have a reason to vote against this. Tell me the reasons against.
It just feels like you run the risk potentially of oversaturation is all. You are testing the limits of how people may go it's too much, and then you start downgrading other games. It feels like it goes on too long.
The average margin of victory this past year was 14.
Mm-hmm.
40 of the 63 games in the tournament were decided by double digits. I get what you're saying. Like, the brackets, NCAA loves their brackets. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Which of the two sports do you feel like today has the greater chance of the upsets with college football tournament or basketball?
Oh, basketball.
I agree.
Oh, but it's not even close.
It's not even close.
It's not even in the same ballpark.
Now, if we go to 16, 18 in college football, I'll vote more against that.
Yeah, you get blowouts.
But college basketball, I feel like, and maybe you can throw the stats in my face to disprove this, hey, man, I got more chances for upsets.
Oh,
here.
No, no, no.
And if it's a blowout, the greatness of staggering it, I just go on to the next game.
Yeah, no. Look, I think didn't every favorite team cover?
I mean, like,
in the NCAA tournament, in the college playoff?
We talked about it. The first round of games, we were like, oh, home field, like, it feels like it's going to guarantee you a win in this new setup because it was just such an advantage to have on campus games. So, yeah, there was not a whole lot of upsets.
Like, I get what you're saying. Oh, my God, you're devaluing the regular season. You're letting everyone in. But for me, I don't care.
Yeah. No, I don't care about that.
Because I don't need importance of the college basketball regular season because I don't care about it anyway. Give me more of the good stuff.
I can't argue that. The NCAA tournament is, you know, it's the best postseason in sports.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's amazing.
I don't know if I can tell you more than two teams in the top 10 in the country right now.
What do we care?
And I only know that them.
Scrub U gets in.
I only know that because Alabama and Auburn played each other and I saw it was on TV. That's the only reason why I even know that.
You can probably guess a couple of them.
I get the initial reaction. It's like, oh my God, here we go. Monetizing, you're selfish. Just let everyone help. But if you really think about it, at least if you digest it like me, give me a few more games of what you are really, really into and you're gambling on or you're bailing out of work for. Bam. All right, we got a special guest, a much-needed replacement for Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece. Someone joining us from the G-Bag Nation next.
Folks, this is it. The Lakers have to get it in. James Watson. Oh, no! No, it's short! James, it'll come! Here in LA.
Nico 2-2. Yeah. 2-2 after the big trade. Let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan with special guest Zach Wolchuk.
Woo!
What's up, Kevin Hagelin?
And Luke is now 3-for-3 and sucking in games since the trade.
Well, wow. So you want to say that Nico's 3-2 then? I was just judging the Lakers' losses, but yeah, if you want to judge the performances.
He's shooting 21% from three and still jacking up as many three-pointers as he wants.
What do you think Luka was doing during the All-Star break? You think he was doing wind sprints to get ready?
Probably not.
Okay. But like, there's Nico's point.
Just for the point.
I'm trolling.
I always say this. Two things can be true. Still think the trade was dumb and still point out that Luka's been playing like butt with the Lakers.
Yes. Two things can be true.
He's been really bad. Really bad. 16-for-45 from the field. I was surprised because he's owned the Hornets. At least he did in a Maverick uniform. So I was hitting the more on the prize picks. I think he was at 25 points. I went with the more. But Luka, it's just been rough. And when you look at the problem is, if you had Anthony Davis, you'd feel better about it.
But he got hurt.
So it doesn't really matter. Like, Luka's available and he's playing right now. Even if he's struggling, you don't have your guy playing via the trade. So. Yeah. But that three quarters was magical.
Who on G-Bag has tried, if at all, to play devil's advocate or defend the deal the most?
Oh, Brian. Yeah, absolutely.
Of course he has.
Broadus, honestly, has sounded like he's been a fan of the deal.
Really?
He's like, get that bum out of here. Fupa Doncic. We don't want him here in Dallas.
What do you call him?
Fupa Doncic. Well, Eric loves to call him Fupa Doncic. But Brian was really rallying around it. Because, you know, Brian's got his sources over there with the Mavs.
Yeah.
So he got the Mavs side of it. And I think from his GM cap, like, he could kind of understand their way of thinking.
And what's the fan text look like when he does that?
Oh, they hate him. They absolutely hate him. But they kind of hate him in general sometimes.
Oh. And that's why Chiafalo caught ricochets. I heard Chiafalo got hurt. He got hurt in his feels hosting on the morning show the other day. Did you know this?
No.
He was leaking his confidence after day one. So here's the thing. He was doing, as you know, this is very much more a G-Bag segment that he was doing when he was here with us. He was talking about like renaming food items at the ballpark. Like, what can I come up with that's like the boomstick? And then he did the, are the two best letters in sports, because pitchers and catchers, he said, are P's and C's, the two best letters in sports. So people were texting in there, TD and like OT and stuff. And then there were other people who typed, like, they texted in like NO to this segment. I'm changing the radio.
And I think that one, man,
I think that hurt his feelings.
See you later. Yeah. And then someone tweeted the other day, like, all of us, like, serious question. Why are you on Love of the Star when, in fact, you do not love the star?
I saw.
And I was like, oh, that's going to get Eric.
Hell of a question.
It is going to get him. It is going to get him.
That's going to get him a little bit. What's coming up on the program?
So at 10:40, we bring back the moral compass and ask about wedding rules and regulations and people who don't follow them.
Whose segment is 10:40 usually? Man.
That is usually Baseball Nuggets with Mike
Bassick. So it's just a coincidence that him being out, you said, we bring back the moral compass.
No, yes, that is just a coincidence.
Because Mike has no moral compass.
No, that is just a coincidence the way it fell. We're going to have Kyle Yeomans on at 1 o'clock and top 10 with Zach Wolchuk at 12:41.
I love the, I'm a wedding etiquette guy. I have the Emily Post book.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
He told me a lot of things.
I read most of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew we had, you know, when we got all our gifts. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to have the invitations out, the thank you cards out by like 30 days.
If you love the etiquette and everything so much, why don't you do another big to do for the second one?
Oh, I could do another wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know my answer, but you love them.
I love weddings.
So why don't you just do one?
She doesn't really want one. She would rather spend the money on the honeymoon. So we are.
That's smart. Makes sense.
Well, her mom is supposed to pay for it anyway.
Yeah, that's so you can that still, doesn't
her it's, parents.
It's 2025. That doesn't really.
Oh,
well, I mean, my Jana's parents did pay. Like, with my parents and her parents split it basically.
Yeah. Who started that? By the way, who started balancing that?
That's a good question.
Because that person should rot in hell.
Oh my god.
Who started saying no? We'll split it.
Now that you have a daughter,
you have a daughter.
Steinem, you're looking ahead because I agree.
In the era.
Oh,
that's death. That's ridiculous. What? But whoever decided to be like, no, you know what? Your side shouldn't have to pay for it. That person, we need to find that individual.
Who's quinceañera do you have to pay for?
My daughter's.
But how many years away is that?
What's that
blink
matter?
And it's going to be.
How do you know societal norms flying. Won't have changed?
Yeah, who's said those won't be? Yeah.
Well, I hope they change. I do. But they probably won't.
And the kid has to pay for it.
Have you ever crashed a wedding?
Yeah, I'm sure I have. Crashed
what
a funeral.
Are we, I'm sure. What are
you, no, yeah.
That's a lie.
Crashed
you would, that's an outright chopping lie.
Crashing the funeral, that's a pro move right there.
I went to the wrong place. So I went to somebody else's wedding.
Okay.
So I went to the wrong place.
And how long did you stay? And what did you do?
It took me like 30 minutes to figure out I was at the wrong wedding.
Did
you eat and drink anything?
No, it was at the ceremony.
Okay, well, then you didn't really crash it.
Yeah.
You didn't knowingly go and partake in their food, drink, and dance.
No, absolutely not.
One of my dreams in life is to be at a wedding where someone interrupts the wedding, hopefully with their undying love or one of the people up at the altar.
The objection?
Yeah. Now, what happens from there? It's fine either way, but I just want to see someone go, wait, I still love you, and like make their passionate plea. Yeah, I think that would be amazing.
Do you want the, but like you don't care about what the result is? Because what if they just like take the guy out, then it's like, all right, that was boring. Don't you want her to stop and just like be in silence and like look back and forth and like really make it like a dramatic decision?
I think that would be amazing, but also if I got to be like part of the security team because they were worried that might happen and you get to tackle that fella.
Take you back to your Blockbuster days.
That's right. I think it would be super fun. And you'd always remember that wedding. Like Choppy didn't even know if he was going to the right wedding. You would always remember the wedding where the person showed up to confess their undying love.
That's true. I'll tell you, I've been to so many. I love a good wedding, but I also don't think I could hate anything more than a bad wedding.
What constitutes a bad wedding?
No open bar.
Bad buffet and no open bar. Or where they tell you, we got beer.
Yeah, you just know, the beer.
Not
liquor.
Beer. Just the beer.
Or
one.
The ceremony's too long.
Yeah.
I need a no more than what ceremony? No more than
20 minutes. Those Catholic weddings, man. I'm Catholic. Those Catholic weddings are the worst. They're
tell
a good
you
hour.
What, our Jewish wedding is not much better.
Yeah, but at least
stomp on the glass.
You guys just stomp. Damn.
At least there's a chance that somebody gets a shard of glass.
That's true. And that was fun. That was like the only thing that I really wanted to do because we did the court deal, which ended up saving a ton of money. It was awesome. But we didn't have a rabbi actually marry us. I just kept with that tradition.
Zach, while at UNT, did you ever have a celebrity speaker as big and famous as Bobby Belt is now? Because yesterday, Bobby spoke at your alma mater.
Did you? You went to Hank Dickinson's class?
No, I went to UNT Frisco. It was like the it's the satellite campus. I went to Joe Trahan's class.
Wait, Peyton, explain to me what that is.
That doesn't count.
Is that a stepchild?
Basically, yeah.
No, it's
you're
just
not in Denton. You're not at UNT.
Oh,
it's the other.
Oh God, Bobby, you oversold that.
I didn't oversell anything.
The UNT Broadcasting School.
So
the UNT.
Said it was
so. So here's the thing.
Sounds pretty weak.
I did not know I was going.
It's like you went to the freak of.
I didn't know I was going to Frisco.
Don't exist.
I didn't know I was going to Frisco until I was getting in the car because I was like, "Oh, UNT," and I didn't even like know that I was. So I was ready to like drive up to Denton. I was like, "Oh, I got to drive to Frisco. It's going to be about 10 minutes longer, and I got to hustle a little bit." But yeah, I spoke to Joe Trahan's sports media relations class
That's
yesterday.
Awesome.
What'd you wear?
A black polo and jeans.
And.
A hat and a
is that the dressiest outfit you have is a black polo and jeans?
No, I have like
oh no, he's got his church outfit. We'll see that in Indy.
Yeah,
he got
no.
it all button tucked in.
Yeah, I mean I I've never been to St. Elmo's. I've done Prime, but I've never been to St. Elmo's, so I don't know how dressed up I have to be there. If I have to be dressed
they're
up,
they're all steakhouses.
I know, but I don't know
it
if
it has
it's,
to be the same dress.
Well, no, because Prime.
I haven't seen differing unless it's a Texas Roadhouse. I mean, it's pretty standard.
Prime, but like Prime is like a hybrid bar this time of year, so people walk in there wearing all sorts of stuff. Oh. And so it's not, that's why I don't totally know.
Is St. Elmo's better than the movie St. Elmo's Fire?
Yes, but it's not better than the song.
Ooh. Would you like us to work on a potential trade? It's not going to happen this year, and he gets final say, but would you like us to work a potential trade for yourself and RJ Choppy to swap Arizona and Indy?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we need diamond calves.
Because RJ said he doesn't care.
We need boots on the ground.
Oh.
We need our best Rangers aficionado there covering spring training. Let's go.
We will have our best Rangers aficionado there covering for a week.
But then we got
Choppy.
But I think you'd love it.
And then he gets to do the latest wake-up call.
That doesn't bother me. That doesn't do anything. What I would be more worried about and more – I don't know how you guys do it in the afternoon. Nothing. Because when I had to do my 1 hour MGM show at the Super Bowl, I had such FOMO that everybody was off work at the hotel bar and nobody was in the building anymore. Nobody was at Radio Row. I don't know how you guys do that when you're still working and all your friends are at home. In the morning, everyone's asleep. I'm not missing anything.
Right.
What am I missing? Breakfast? Mm-hmm. Woo.
He's trying to play cool. He really wants to go.
Oh, I would love
to Arizona?
He really wants to go to Indy really bad.
He's always liked Indy as well. Who's more bitter about anything, you or Broadus?
Brian's gone, so he knows what he's missing. I don't know what I'm missing.
Yeah.
So I'd probably say Brian probably is more bitter, but that's always been a dream to go check out the combine.
All right, I got some Four Nations prop bets real quick.
Let's do it.
Will there be a fight in the first minute of the game, yes or no?
Yes.
No
is minus 5,000.
Wow,
there's good money to be made on the yes.
Yes is plus 1,000.
Let's go.
Throw 10 bucks.
That's the first minute. How many fights will there be?
Two.
Is it over under is a half?
No, it's just a number.
Two.
I like three. The two. You going three?
I'll say one.
All right, well, two fights is plus 800. Zero fights is minus 200, the favorite. When will the first fight occur?
First minute.
Overtime is the favorite.
Wow.
You can bet on whether a player will be bleeding after the first fight. No is minus 1,500. Which team's players will bleed after the first fight?
Canada's
sure. Minus 130. USA minus 110. Choppy, what does that mean? Who's the favorite?
Minus 130.
110 is USA?
Yeah, minus 130 is the favorite.
Minus 130. So Canada will bleed. Will a player's helmet come off during the first fight? Which team's helmet will come off during the first fight? Will the goalies fight each other?
Oh,
no.
Noah's minus 10,000.
I could see that.
Will there be three fights and three unanswered goals in the game? That's plus 10,000. Which players will fight? Two Kachucks and Sam Bennett. What will happen?
Sam Bennett, the golfer.
What will happen on game day? You can bet on the following. USA, USA, USA chants during the Canadian anthem. Plus 300. Player bleed. Trump slips on ice after game. Is Trump going to be there?
What are the odds on that one?
He has to be there.
I assume he's going
to
be there. That makes sense.
I saw it was plus 150 that he would be there. So underdog, but close.
Yeah. What will be said first during the broadcast? Tariffs or 51st state?
Oh, man. That's...
Will Donald Trump be said on the broadcast during the first period?
Yes.
What will happen after the game? Canada wins, Trump removes increased tariffs, USA wins, Canada becomes the 51st state.
Man.
That should be a bet.
That should be the actual stakes of the games.
Like if the U.S. wins,
Like when they do the governors are trading barbecue and, right. and chicken.
And then finally, which celebrities will attend this evening? In order, Drake. Good job. Plus 150. Eli, Bieber, Vince Vaughn, Steve Aoki, Bill Burr, Steve Carell, Christy Brinkley, Connor McDavid, Evander Holyfield, Shaq, Tim Robbins, Billy Joel, Gordon Ramsay, Will Ferrell, Zac Efron, Snoop, Neil Young, Mike Myers, Stephen King, Ariana Grande, and Hulk Hogan. The KMC Masterpiece is next.